morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog directors, John Rayhor and Jamie Jors. We're talking Packers football. We're getting ready for the 2012 NFL season. How about that? Are you ready for some football? Jamie Jors on our live blog says, happy football. Kind of like saying happy birthday, right? The NFL regular season opens tonight. That opening day kickoff game that the Packers played in last year. Remember, the Super Bowl champion always gets to host the first game of the year? Last year, the Packers hosted the New Orleans Saints on a nationally televised game on NBC on a Thursday night. Well, this year, the New York Giants, the team that beat the Packers in the playoffs last year, get to host the opening day game. They host the Dallas Cowboys tonight, NFC Showdown. A battle that will go towards determining the playoff picture in the NFC. That's not exactly going on a limb. Almost every game determines that. But anyhow, it's back to football tonight. Back to football. Kevin Lamb says on the live blog, I was at that game last year versus Saints. Best day of my life. Better than the Super Bowl? Well, you were there in person, so you know, it's tough to beat that. That was amazing last year. If you remember back to that first game, it was quite the spectacle. I mean, first of all, they had like those concerts going on right across the street from Lambeau Field. Who was there? Like, was Kid Rock there? And Lady Antebellum? And I don't know, some crappy pop music, I'm sure. Maroon 5. Yes, it was crappy pop music. But anyway, I mean, that, and then they had the, right before the game started, they had the whole stadium. They gave them cards. And then it looked like kind of the American flag around the ring of the stadium. It was really, really cool. Looked really nice. Hope they do something like that tonight as well, as it's back to football. But yeah, the New York Giants, the defending Super Bowl champions, kicking off the season tonight against the Dallas Cowboys. The word is it's going to be very stormy and rainy. Yes, stormy. Possible thunderstorms this evening. So yeah, it'll be an experience tonight, that's for sure. When there's heavy rain downpour, you know that always does kind of equal the playing field. That, I mean, these teams are, you know, season opener coming into the game fairly healthy, reasonably equal anyway, at least at this point of the year. But if it's heavy rain, you just never know what's going to happen in a game like that. Can always make things interesting. It's what you always got to worry about a little bit with the Packers playing in Green Bay, cold weather plays. Now, the Packers have shown they can pass the ball around when it's 20 below zero. But the possibility of severe or windy or wet weather, like very snowy wet, you know, that can dampen a passing game, you know, quite a bit. But I mean, we've gone through that on Cheesehead TV before, or I have. I mean, games like that come around once every 5 years or so. Just the sloppy, wet, absolutely shut everything you do down. You know, those games come once every 5 years or so. So they really don't come about all that often. It would just be really disappointing if one of those 5 years it was a playoff game. You don't want to see that. But anyway, let's talk some football here. Let's talk some Packers. Kind of getting off topic here. Talking Cowboys-Giants here. Not the point of this show, exactly. I mean, it's got the NFL connection, but we want to talk Packers, right? Biggest story of the day or the past couple days has perhaps been the contract situation of Greg Jennings, wide receiver Greg Jennings, who's in his last year of his contract with the Green Bay Packers. So, of course, everybody's wondering, you know, what are the Packers going to do? What is Greg Jennings going to do? Are they going to come to a contract extension? And basically, over the past of the course of the past 24 hours or so, Greg Jennings has been doing his media rounds, basically stating the uncertainty of his future. You know, saying he wants to be back with the Packers, but also saying he understands the business side of things and that it may possibly not be in the cards. I mean, it's too soon to tell right now whether Greg Jennings will be back in 2013 or not with the Packers. But that there definitely is uncertainty, to say the least. And, you know, Greg Jennings talked to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about it. He went and talked to a couple ESPN platforms, I believe, Mike and Mike in the Morning and SportsCenter, if I'm correct. He went on the NFL Network. So he did all these interviews and basically saying the same thing in every interview, that he just doesn't know. And, you know, getting his side of the story out there and, you know, trying to raise his profile a little bit, and I can't blame Greg Jennings for doing that. Packers had the day off yesterday. He had nothing better to do than talk a little football. And the requisite question that came up in every interview, of course, was his contract, though. But it's John Rahor says here in the live blog, it's going to come down to long-term deal for Jennings or Raji right now. I'd take Jennings. That's John's opinion. You know, it's been thrown about the many upcoming deals the Packers have with high-profile players. Guys like B.J. Raji, Greg Jennings, Aaron Rodgers, and Clay Matthews. Those four players are all coming up, you know, to a contract situation where they have the Packers going to have to choose, are they going to extend their contracts or not? And you know, the Packers may not have room or enough money underneath the salary cap to sign all four of those players. And they are, you know, kind of staggered a little bit. Greg Jennings is the only player whose contract comes up after this season. You know, I think after that, B.J. Raji and Aaron Rodgers come up the following season, and Clay Matthews, I think, has an option for a fifth year on his contract. So I'm not sure exactly how it works out, if Clay Matthews is going to be done after five years or 6 years. It's kind of weird that way. But, you know, all of them, you know, all things being equal, the Packers would like those four players to be part of their future plans going forward. Just, you know, recently, what was it, 2 weeks ago, you know, TJ Lang came to the contract extension with the Packers, kind of putting him out of the way a little bit. And you know, it's good. The Packers locked him up for a couple years into, you know, he got a good contract, but saying, you know, nothing outrageous, especially for a guard in the NFL. They don't make exactly the same type of money that quarterbacks do or anything like that, skill position players for that matter. But, you know, it's the Packers have some tough decisions going forward. The most recent report from ProFootballTalk.com, and I believe Mike Florio was the author, although I'm not positive of that, that the Packers are roughly right now about $11 million underneath the salary cap this year. And that is subject to change, because I think during the offseason, how it works is they only take the top 52 or 51 players on the team to determine their salary cap number. Whereas once the season starts, they count all 53, And then you have the salaries of the players who go on injured reserve taken into account as well. Now, even when you take into account those things, though, Packers still have a lot of money underneath the salary cap. There is room this season to extend at least one player and give him a lot of money this year yet. I don't know if there's room for two extensions this season, you know, before the end of 2012. But sometime before, I think it's in November, expect the Packers to extend either Jennings, Rodgers, Matthews, or Raji. And, you know, whoever might be most amenable to a contract extension and take the least money might be the winner in that sweepstakes. But, you know, that there's a certain date in November under which or before which all money can still go towards this year's salary cap. So if they give them a nice signing bonus, that all counts toward this year's salary cap. So the Packers can conceivably give a signing bonus worth $8 million or so to one of these players and have it all count under this year's salary cap instead of like spreading it out over future years. So, I guess signing bonuses are always spread out over the length of the contract, but instead of it starting in 2013, you can still count it towards 2012 or something like that. It's complicated when you're talking about, you know, numbers and decimal points and prorating portions of contracts and things like that, things I don't entirely understand myself. And perhaps maybe sometime we should get Andrew Brandt to come on this show, shouldn't we? I think Andrew Brandt would come on Real Bird Central to explain it all. Maybe not him, but maybe sometime we could get like a salary cap expert or something like that. Andrew Brandt, I don't know. It would be awesome to have him on Real Bird Central. He's a little bit too big time now for us, I think. But yeah, I mean, it is a unique situation that the Packers are facing here. And what was really interesting just, you know, yesterday, Aaron Rodgers, once again, beginning his weekly radio interviews with the ESPN radio affiliate in Milwaukee, does it over every week during the regular season, I believe. So starting it yesterday, and of course asked about Greg Jennings' contract and you know, not seeming overly optimistic, saying to the effect, like, realistically have to acknowledge that this could be Greg Jennings' last season. That's what Rodgers said. Could be, and you know, and not that anything's set in stone here, but that kind of told me a little bit. When Aaron Rodgers is not particularly optimistic, you never know. Of course, the Packers here, you know, probably the deepest position on the team is wide receiver. So there are other options the Packers have if they decide to move on from Greg Jennings. Of course, they have Jordy Nelson, who's really developing into one of the top wide receivers in the NFL. They have James Jones. They have Donald Driver. They have Randall Cobb, and a very big up-and-coming player. They got the rookie this year, Jarrett Boykin, who is one of the most surprising keeps on the 53-man roster. So there's all that, and you know, I don't know what that means for Greg Jennings. So Mark comments on the live blog, they could franchise Greg Jennings. They could. That is an option for next year. You might tick Greg Jennings off a little bit if you give him the franchise tag for 1 year, basically making him play under a one-year deal instead of signing a long-term contract that he could have somewhere with some team in the NFL. But, I mean, the rule is there to help out teams. And certainly, you know, I think it's an option right now. I think it's an option for the Packers, but I mean, you can't apply a franchise tag until next spring. So, I mean, that's a long ways away. And, you know, certainly a whole season's got to play out here. You know, an injury to either one of the, any one of these four players we mentioned, Rodgers, Jennings, Rodgy, Matthews, an injury to either one, any one of them could, you know, put them at the back burner for a contract extension, could make them the lowest priority. So, you know, there's all those things to consider as well. So it's, We wait and see. I mean, who knows? I mean, Greg Jennings could come to a contract extension today with the Packers. Could sign an extension today. Not saying it's going to happen. Not saying it's likely to happen. But there is a way of these things happening before the season starts. You know, that there is, you know, it happens a little bit with frequency. Not, you know, very often, but once in a while. You know, they happen right before the season starts because these players like to get these things done before the season starts because, you know, once the games start, then their concentration, they want to be focusing on football. And not to say they don't sign extensions mid-season. They do. It happens. You know, an agent can take care of a lot of those details and you know, and not have to take up a lot of time and attention from the player themselves. But I'm just saying it has a way of happening before the season starts. So who knows? Could happen today. Could happen in November, like we said. Could not happen at all. And, Greg Jennings could be a free agent in the spring, in April. We wait and see. What else is on the docket today in the world of the Green Bay Packers? Interesting article from Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, basically doing a season preview as he does every year and kind of forecasting how the Packers will do. And you know, coming from Bob McGinn, who is inducted into the writers' wing of the Hall of Fame, I'm not exactly sure how they break that down, but Bob McGinn, Hall of Fame writer, reporter, beat writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, predicting the Packers to regress toward the mean in 2012, not having a 15-1 season. And I totally agree there myself. I don't think the Packers are going 15-1 again. As much as I would love them to, as much as you would love them to, as much as we'd love to see them go 16-0, it's just basically not realistic. They are going to regress toward the mean somewhat, I think. Bob McGinn thinks. I guess I just don't think it's as much as Bob McGinn thinks it will. He has the Packers going 10-6 this season, making the playoffs, but losing at some point in the playoffs. I think he has the 49ers of all teams, the team the Packers play on Sunday in their season opener. Bob McGinn has them as the NFC champions, and I forget who he's got winning the Super Bowl. It's all in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. There's so much content in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today. If you have a subscription to JS Online, it's like they came out with a season preview section, I think, today. And absolute ton of material, reading material. If you're bored today, it'll keep you busy all day long. There's that much reading material. But yeah, so Bob again, thinking the Packers going to go 10-6. Make the playoffs and, you know, and saying they don't win the Super Bowl. And, you know, I mean, it's these predictions are so tough to make. I mean, it's tough to predict one game, you know, first of all. It's tough enough predicting one game at a time. You know, predicting, I suppose, straight up isn't really necessarily all that tough, but when you're predicting games against the spread, it gets incredibly hard. But, you know, let alone weeks down the road, months down the road. So then you're trying to predict an entire record for the Packers. And, you know, just today, I published my season predictions for every game for the Packers on my my semi-occurring, reoccurring columns at Bleacher Report. And I predict the Packers going to go 12-4 this season. You know, where that puts them in late December, early January, I don't know. You know, if you go 12-4, you're right around that area. Are you getting home field advantage throughout the playoffs? Are you getting a bye in the first round, or do you have to play in the wild card round? You're probably getting a bye if you're 12-4, but you're easily in the playoffs if you're 12-4. Now 10-6, that's two less wins. Then you're kind of at the point, do you make the playoffs? It's possible. More than likely, you're in the playoffs with the 10-6 record, but it's possible you could be out of the picture. Possible. But McGinn has him in. It just doesn't have the Packers winning the Super Bowl. So, you know, it's anybody's guess at this point. I mean, really, it's so tough to predict a season. Everybody knows the Packers are going to be a good team. Unless they get, you know, hit by injuries, of course, and there's that caveat with every team in the NFL. I mean, it's, you know, the Packers are a talented team. They're a team that, you know, regardless of what happened in the playoffs last year, they went 15-1 in the regular season. That shows they have talent. You know, perhaps the defense wasn't the greatest last year, but still, this is a good team. More than likely, you know, they're in the playoffs, and it's almost hard to predict Super Bowl champions until you get to the playoffs, until you get to that point, you know, because so much can happen between now and the end of the season, and, you know, we've seen how important it is just to be playing good football at the end of the year. You know, if all of a sudden you get off to a good start to the season, but then kind of limp into the playoffs at the end, you know, your chances of winning in the playoffs are not all that good. But if you're a hot team going into the playoffs, you've won your last five straight regular season games, you've got some momentum. It's those kind of teams that tend to do well in the playoffs and get hot toward the end. And, you know, make a run toward the Super Bowl. And so, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with any team until that point in the year, until you get to the end of the regular season and we see how they're doing. So, you know, there's all these factors to consider in, but, you know, just interesting that I think, you know, here's, you know, in my estimation, the best beat reporter on the Packers beat, and that's not to denigrate anybody else. There's so many good Packers beat reporters out there, but you know, here's a guy who's in the Hall of Fame and he's predicting the Packers to go 10-6, you know, it's just interesting to see that, where he's got the Packers going and McGinn not stopping there. I mean, McGinn wrote like five articles for today's paper and I'm sure he's been working on them over the course of the past week or so. But also doing his rankings of every player on the roster. He does this every year. You know, if you really follow the work of beat reporters, you see the things they do week in, week out, year in, year out. Every year, Bob McGinn does his ranking of every player on the roster, and today's came out today. Of course, Aaron Rodgers is number one. And I don't think there's a soul out there who's going to disagree with that, right? And Clay Matthews came in number two, and I would have to agree with that. And kind of maybe the first surprise, perhaps. I think if I'm correct, B.J. Raji came in number three. B.J. Raji, the defensive lineman, the guy who suffered an ankle sprain in the last preseason game. And by the way, first injury report of the year comes out today, in which the Packers have to say, you know, how what part, first of all, what part of the body their injury is, at, whether it's ankle, knee, concussion, whatever. And second of all, they have to say how they participate in practice. Were they full? Were they limited? Were they out? And of course, there'll be some attention on BJ Raji because he's one of the starters in the Packers, one of the few that'll be on the injury report this week, or at least one of the few starters that'll be on the injury report. So we kind of wait till this afternoon to see what's up with BJ Raji and how he's at, where he's at in his recovery from a little bit of a rolled ankle, although I don't think it's serious. So, but yeah, Raji coming in on Packers number 3 overall player. Do you agree with that? Feel free to, share your thoughts on the live blog here about, your rankings for players on the Packers roster. And I already see some comments coming in here. John Rahor noting that James Starks took a beating in his player rankings. DJ Protege saying, I think Jordy Nelson is number 2. Leviticus 268 saying, no way Nelson should be 3 over Raji. So a lot of love for Jordy Nelson here. And I guess I might just throw out there, do you already think Jordy Nelson is ahead of Greg Jennings? Just looking at the wide receivers alone, a lot of love for Jordy Nelson here. And nobody's saying anything on our live blog, at least, about Greg Jennings. Here we go. The poll is up on our live blog. Is Raji the number 3 player on the Packers? Yes or no? And see what the poll results say here. And for the most part, 89% of our respondents say no. BJ Raji is not the number 3 player on the roster. So a lot of people disagreeing with Bob McGinn. Hall of Fame writer, Bob McGinn, now 90%. So a lot of our listeners here disagreeing with the Hall of Famer. You hear that, folks? You're disagreeing with Hall of Famer Bob McGinn. Do you think you know more than Bob McGinn? DJ Protege asking, do you have Wood over Raji? And that's a good question. So where did Charles Woodson come in on the list? Charles Woodson slowly making his way down that list of the most important or the most talented Packers on the roster. And you know what? It has to do with age more than anything. And there was a point when Charles Woodson was near the top. I'm sure there was a point where he was probably number 2 on the roster to only Aaron Rodgers. But now in his older age, relatively older age, Charles Woodson slowly making his way down the list, is undertaking the position change this year, playing a little bit more safety than he's usually accustomed to. Not on the perimeter anymore, not guarding those speedy wide receivers that he'll have a hard time keeping up with. So Charles Woodson falling down a little bit. Charles Woodson can still be a major part of this Packers team and their fortunes this year, but he's behind Clay Matthews. He's behind BJ Raji, at least in the estimation of Bob McGinn. Comment from Kyle Cousineau. Tim Mastay gets no love. How he's not in the top 3 blows my mind. I love Tim Mastay. I guess it's just hard to put a punter up that high, isn't it? But definitely, Tim Mastay is a guy who he keeps improving and there's no end in sight. And that's a fantastic thing to say there, that he cannot, is not no end in sight. Comment from Mark, punters are people too. Oh, isn't that hilarious? Punters are people too. But that came from Rich Eisen in the NFL draft. But DJ Protege on the live blog saying Tremont might be in my top 5. He might. I always point back to the Packers Super Bowl season 2010. Tremont Williams was the best player from season beginning to season end for the Packers that year. And people are going to disagree with me. And, you know, I can totally understand if people say Aaron Rodgers was the best player on the Packers that year. I understand that. But, man, my money would go to Tremont Williams that year. Just so great. And then the shoulder injury really kind of shoulder injury held him up last year. Held up Tremont Williams. Prevented him from having a better 2011 than he did. And really, you know, go look at Tremont Williams' stats. They're not all that bad. You know, people say he had a down year in 2011. Well, Tremont Williams, in what is supposedly a down year, had a career high in tackles and a career high in passes defensed with, I think, 22 passes defensed in 2011 for Tremont Williams. And that was a down year, supposedly. You know, of course he had a few less interceptions. I think he had 4 interceptions last year, whereas he had 9 between the regular and the postseason in 2011. So, you know, a drop off there, but, you know, in other categories, playing at a very high level. Anyhow, it's past 9 o'clock. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us here on Railbird Central. Great to be back from Labor Day weekend here. It's now officially autumn on the Caribou calendar. Labor Day is the last day of summer for me. I don't care what the calendar really says. Labor Day is the last day of summer, and now it's fall, and now it's football time, real football time. NFL gets underway tonight. Enjoy the game tonight, folks, and we continue to get ready for the Packers season opener on Sunday. So we'll be talking about that again on Friday. So make sure to come back on Friday for another episode of Railbird Central. We'll see you later, everyone. On behalf of John Rahor, on behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Caravu. Back 8:30 a.m. On Friday morning, and I leave you today with a song called Barker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go. Thank you.